Welcome back to Locarno Film Festival. We bring you here our next interview for the film You Don't Belong Here by Florence Serban. Hello, Florence.
Hello.
Your film is running in the main competition. You're tackling a very contemporary topic inspired by an actual movement or phenomenon in Russia. Is that true? Mm-hmm. Would you like to talk a little bit about that?
This is not the main inspiration for the movie. The whole idea of the movie started with an exercise that I did in my film school. I have a small film school and we have an acting department, and there we had this acting exercise between two actors, one the father, one the son. And it was about a father who feels a strong disdain for the son. It was in an improvisation and felt very strong, felt very wrong in many ways, because we always think that there's something deeply natural for the parent to be deeply attached to the son. Started a series of questions. This is how it started, actually. Many other themes came and attached to this film. And because for me, it's like I start with an idea, and this idea is like a magnet for other themes. Others are happening around me that are of interest for me. And this youth movement that you're referring to was something that I accidentally met on the internet. It's an organization. Right now it's defunct. It doesn't exist anymore. Apparently it was related to a youth organization that was close to Putin, and they were doing some civil militia, like they were taking care of business that the police wouldn't take care of, cars that are parked illegally on the sidewalk, or the cars that in Moscow or in St. Petersburg would go on the sidewalk, side of the street, just to pass the traffic. And they were doing something similar. And then I started looking into it, and apparently there were three other movements in Romania that were similar, but the thing didn't really take off. And it stayed like this. I didn't go more into this. They were the Romanian groups as well. They were sympathizers for some far-right movements.
In the film, it becomes very serious when the son is the prime suspect in a case of deadly assault or even murder. And the father has to ask himself where that violence and aggression did come from, and also face his own responsibility in this case. Would you like to talk about these themes?
Everything that happened in the film is a work of fiction. This is the ideas, the core of the movie, the murder that the son does in the street. For me, it's a subplot, because it's a pretext to dive into the relation and the broken relation of these two characters. I tried very much to stay away of whodunit genre, type of American thriller. So I was focusing more on the moral side of the story. So for me, it's a moral tale. It's a moral thriller. Who has the guilt for this sex? Is the kid? Is the society? Is the father? This was important for me.
Do you see that the older, especially the older male generation in Romania, or maybe in general in society, is in part responsible for the right-wing tendencies and also the violence that erupts in the current younger generation?
I think there's a rupture in communication between generations, as it always was the case. I felt disconnected as a teenager from my parents. Every teenager feels disconnected from the parent. He thinks that the parents don't understand anything. When it comes to our times, I don't think it's much different. What I think it's different is the context that we are in, this communicational environment where we find out a lot of things very fast through social media, through networks, through TV, internet. Who has the guilt, I think, for these far-right movements? I think it's very different from one society to another. I think it's different in Romania, where the far-right movement has some communist ideology attached to it. The younger generation, most of it, I don't think it's racist. I don't think it's far-right. I think most of them are better than we were, than my generation was when we were their age. But I think the kids that can go wrong, they can go wrong much worse than we could have. I will always asking myself, okay, what would have happened to me? And I think this is a valid question. If I would have lived in Romania between wars, okay, what would have happened to me in terms of ideology? Where would I stand? Where would I have stood? I think for Romania, it's very important to realize that we are coming after 35 years of democracy, after 50 years of communism. And our communism was very different from the rest of the communist bloc, because it was a very national communist. So this did not disappear. in Romania. And I think many kids are better than us at realizing the bullshit, but there are some kids that go wrong for sure.
How does the theme of toxic masculinity and patriarchy play into this story? It's a very male-coded story, even though a mother figure appears, but the main conflict is really between the father and the son.
What I was very interested in was to investigate this type of role model, this type of masculinity that, for the lack of a better term, I call it Faustian type of male. The one that dreams to push the boundaries of knowledge, of values, to push the boundaries further. For me, it was important to ask this question: is this type of masculinity still valid today? Is he actually a tragic character without knowing? Can somebody like this be a good parent? Where is his weakness? And for me, the worst thing that can happen to a character like this is to feel fear.
There's also this aspect of social expectation that the father has a very specific path lined out for his son. How do you relate to these themes?
For me, the trip of being an artist is not to put myself in the films, but to ask myself, what if I would be in this position? And to start from there. And I did like this for pretty much everything I've done, all my movies. If you saw my first film, If I Want to Whistle, I Whistle.
I did at Berlinale.
Yes, I'm the inmate. I've never been to prison. I mean, I went to prison to know them and to realize what's going on there. But myself and my private life, I've never been to prison. I come from a family with a lot of love and a lot of care, and I was pretty much away from troubles. But I put myself in the shoes of that kid to be able to write his story. Same, I put myself in the shoes of the ranger that lives in the forest, of the boxer in box, of the one that wants to go to America in America, in love to America. And I put myself in the shoes of this character, this surgeon. What if I would be this character? What if I would not love my kid? What if I would expect something from him and he don't want to go that path? What if I would disdain? This is the trip that I'm willing to take in order to get the best out of me on every movie.
How did you shape the specific style of the film? It's very dark, also very drab colors. It seems very cold, like a reflection of the father-son relationship, which
yes.
is also cool and coldish.
Yes.
Would you like to tell a little bit about your style or the specific films?
I like to think that I change my style from one film to another. And what you said is absolutely true. Everything is rather cold, gloomy. There's no sun. The sun doesn't rise, doesn't shine. It's late fall. I wanted everything to be gray, dark, an industrial city with dust settled on everything. I also wanted to work with these long takes because an educated viewer, when he's pushed to feel something, to look at something, many times as a director, you get exactly the reaction that you don't want. You get some resistance. If I would shove it to you, I think I would create some sort of resistance. My bet on this film was I would try to engage the viewer little by little and let him observe, let the reality unfold in front of him, instead of grabbing him by the neck and showing him, listen, look at this now. For 3 seconds, no, look at this. For another 5 seconds, now the music will come and will tell you that this is some scary shit going on. There are scenes that last in one shot for 15 minutes. And if you're engaged, in 15 minutes, you almost forget that you're watching a movie. You're listening to this one, you're listening to this one, you're listening to this one, and you're kind of part of that reality. I think we should take, as filmmakers, we should be bold and courageous. And if we feel that this is the right path, I think we should push it, not to play against the audience, but to make the audience come to you instead of me coming to them. I mean, we are making movies for the public. And for me, it's a gesture of humbleness and respect towards the public to tell them, listen, I believe you can take it. I believe you can go and look for 15 minutes, one shot, and listen to these characters. You don't need MTV. You don't need YouTube all the time in the cinema. Now, if you made the effort to go to the cinema, I think you deserve a little bit. So it's my declaration of love towards the intelligence of the audience, their disponibility, their willingness to engage in a trip.
There's a specific thing that I like to mention a little at the ending, but it's such an amazing scene and it really got me. It's this moment when the father is at a class reunion and everybody tells like how great their life has been and how far they've gotten and how they reached their personal ideals. And then it's his turn and we can imagine that it's not a very nice position to be in. So how did you come up with that?
I kept it for the end by making him that way. I made my stance towards this type of masculinity, this type of drama. Actually, the idea came from a reunion that I had when everybody was, we met after I think 30 years from graduating high school. Everybody was talking about their achievements, and some of my former colleagues were talking about their achievements with a lot of sadness. And this is where it struck me. What if somebody stands up and goes through a total life and tells not the life that he had, but the life that he would have loved to have? And this is what he does. This is what was his dream, for his son to be like this and like this and like this. So he's basically saying what his life is in his mind, that it's not there anymore.
What would you hope for this film to achieve, if it could be one thing?
This film is really not in your face. It's a rather discreet film that requires some patience from the viewer, requires some willingness from the viewer to go through some uncomfortable moments, have uncomfortable thoughts. I was very happy that the film landed in Locarno, which I think it's a very good start for this film. I hope it can get as many viewers as possible in Europe. I think this is mostly a European film with a European male figure having a European dream. From Goethe onwards, men had this dream of changing the universe. There's a quote from Hannah Arendt that says, "Every revolutionary becomes a conservative when the revolution won." We should think, when should we start our revolution and when we should end a personal revolution?
Just a final question. Do you already have a new film project that you would like to mention?
Yes, actually, I'm shooting in 1 month a film that is very challenging for me. It's a film written by a student of mine from the film school. It's called Ella, or The Memories of a Dutiful Daughter, referring Memoirs of a Dutiful Daughter from Simone de Beauvoir. And it's a story of abusive parenthood, living with alcoholism in the family. It's a difficult story. We just finished casting the main character, who's the girl, who's 17, and we will start shooting on the 7th of September.
Wonderful. We are excited to see that, and thank you so much for this interview.
Thank you.